And now, a segment from the Best of the Nightside with Barb DiGiulio podcast. Listen and download the latest podcast at newstalk1010.com.
Rebecca Chan is my guest this hour. She is a wedding planner and coordinator in the city of Toronto. We've spoken to her before, but she is in studio tonight. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. This is going to be the hour we're calling the Wedding Planner on the Nightside. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff, and this applies to not only people who are getting married, but family of people who are getting married. And I asked you in the break how many weddings you were doing this summer, and you said?
Yes, I do about 20 to 25 weddings this year, most of them May to October.
That is a lot.
It's a lot. If you talk to wedding photographers, they probably do even more. I only do one a weekend.
Wow. So how are you able to devote enough time to each couple when you have that many on the go?
A lot of files, a lot of spreadsheets, and I do it full time. So when I'm not doing a wedding on a Saturday, I have my Sunday to Friday to focus on my work.
How long have you been a wedding planner?
I've been doing this for about 6 years now, though before that I was doing nonprofit special events, and I've transitioned last year to full time.
Okay, so why wedding planning?
Why not? It's a happiness business. It's fun. It is high pressure at some points, but for the majority of the work, it's a lot of fun. It's enjoyable.
What percentage of the brides you work with are bridezilla category?
I'd say every year I get maybe one or two that they have a bit more expectation than others. Yes.
Does that usually come down to what they can afford and what they want?
Not necessarily. I feel like people have realistic expectations when they have a planner that they're working with. It's really expectation at the end of the day and how stressed they are, how anxious of a person they are, and if they're willing to go with the flow, because that's really what happens on the wedding day.
Isn't it? Because my belief is something is always going to go, and not even wrong, but not as expected, probably.
For sure. Absolutely. Every wedding, there's always something that happens, but it's a matter of if you can handle it, if you're okay, if you have a planner, if you have help, and if you're able to kind of compromise and go with the flow again.
Well, and I think a lot of the stuff that maybe goes wrong is not anything anybody else would know went wrong.
Yes, a lot of times things get handled discreetly. If you have professional help, you have good vendors, they'll be able to handle it. If it's when you don't have professional help and you're doing it on your own, that's usually when the issues come back to you and you have to deal with it.
We are with Rebecca Chan. This is the Wedding Planner on the Nightside. If you have any questions about your wedding, someone else's wedding, anything to do with weddings, she is here for the hour, 416-872-1010, Star Talk, Star 8255. You can text us at 71010. So why a wedding planner?
It's a big project. For a lot of young couples, it's the biggest expense that they've incurred before buying a house, and they don't know how to manage that. The process itself, the budget, finding the right vendors to make their dream wedding come true. It's like building a house. Do you want to build it on your own? You can do the work, or you can hire someone who can manage the vendors, manage the process, who has the relationships with the vendors already, who can do it for you.
So with you having those relationships with the vendors, does that ever mean a discount on services?
Absolutely. There are a lot of vendors I work with. We have a great working relationship. We enjoy working with each other. And they say, Rebecca, I'm happy to work with your clients. I'll give them a quick discount. That way, they're happy to work with you. The client is more inclined to book them as well. And I get to work with vendors that are good.
Are families still getting involved in weddings? Are they still wanting to have a say and have things go their way, regardless of what the bride and groom want?
Absolutely.
When
is that never an issue?
I didn't know if that was still happening, really.
I think more commonly, though, couples are paying for weddings more themselves.
Right.
Which is where they have more control. It's when the couples have their parents chip in with the wedding, and that's when they have more say and more expectation, usually.
Do you end up being the middleman in that situation?
For sure. I'm the one who's not emotionally involved. And I'm the one who is the go-to when there's advice needed, if there are questions about etiquette or what they should spend on or what they shouldn't, what they can compromise on. So for sure, I'm always asked.
Do you have a most, you know, sort of, I'm going to say, outrageous demand that you've seen or expectation or wish?
I've had a wedding come together in 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, I met with a couple on a Friday and they said, Rebecca, you know, our Chinese astrologer says May 4th is the best day to get married. Can you do it? We have, you know, we're willing to spend the money. Can we do it?
And we're laughing because we're laughing because May 4th is my wedding anniversary.
Yes,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. May the 4th be with you. That's hilarious. It probably is the best day to get married.
Yes, it's true.
So you were able to pull something together in 2 weeks.
For sure.
Incredible.
Venue, cake, floral, ceremony spot at Casa Loma is great.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that couples should not try to save money on or cheap out on if they're looking to save money? What is the most important thing that they should invest in for the wedding?
I'd say a photographer is the most important thing. Memories don't rehappen. You can't redo a wedding. It's important to get a great photographer who's able to roll with the punches for a day where things may happen not as expected. And it's something that you should invest in for sure.
That's, you know what, that's a great point, because I'm going to say, out of the things that we did for our wedding, probably the photographs were the most one of the most disappointing, because we tried to save money.
Right. And you can't redo the wedding, right? And it's a shame when you have a vision for the day, you spent all this time and money, and it doesn't get captured the way you want.
Mm-hmm. 416-872-1010, star talk, star 8255. Text us at 71010. Rebecca Chan is here. She is a Toronto wedding planner and coordinator. And we are talking about anything and everything to do with planning a wedding. She is free for you right now at 416-872-1010. We will continue our conversation. We're going to talk about how to avoid drama while planning your wedding, that and more, when we return on The Night Side.
The Night Side with Barb DiGiulio on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Welcome back to the show. Right now, it is the wedding planner on the Night Side. Rebecca Chan is here. She is a very busy wedding planner and coordinator in the city of Toronto. And your calls are welcome at 416-872-1010, star talk, star 8255. You can text us at 71010. And you've been at this for, you said, about 6 or 7 years?
That's right.
What is the, and this has nothing to do with you, but just out of curiosity, what is the success rate of all of those marriages at this point? Do you know any that have broken up yet?
Luckily, I have not known anyone that has broken up, actually.
Because we keep hearing about how many people are just, you know, go for the big wedding and then very shortly after, Splitsville. But so you're batting 1,000, as they say.
Yes, though I've heard of other couples with other wedding vendors, like photographers, who would work more weddings than I do, who have had non-successful, you know, couples, but it happens.
It's part of the business.
It happens.
Yeah. 416-872-1010. Here is Lily. Hi, Lily. You're on with Rebecca Chan.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a question with regards to food. So my fiance is Italian and I'm Chinese, and we'd like to honor both sides of family. They're both very food-centered cultures. And I was wondering if you could suggest some sort of strategy or even a caterer that we could use.
Well, I think it depends on which type of catering and which type of food you'd like to be the center of the meal, whether that's the Chinese 10 course or if you have more of a Western style cuisine for the main meal. There are some venues that allow for both. So let's say you have more of an Italian focus on your 3 or 4 courser with your antipasto and all that kind of thing. And then maybe you can bring in a Peking duck station, or you can do something really interesting with your appetizers and with a roast pig, especially. Those are important things, right? So those are all things that you can include. And there are definitely venues who can allow for both.
Have you booked your venue yet?
We have not. We've only put soft hold on because I was unsure about all this.
Are there some particular places that you think would be able to help her out more than others?
Well, finding a venue is a difficult thing for a lot of couples because there's so many variables. It depends on your style and your budget. There are a couple caterers that are Chinese that would have recommendations for which venues allow them to come in. If that's something that you're interested in, I'd say that's more of a specialty item versus banquet halls that allow for Italian. They do that in-house usually already. So I'd say look for one that allows for the Chinese catering to be brought in as a specialty, and then you can go from there.
Okay.
Is that helpful? Okay, thanks, Lily. I like that idea because, you know, look, I'm a little biased, but if you're okay with doing a traditional banquet hall, you're not going to get more food for the price than if you go the Italian route. But I'm sure there are a lot of places that would allow you to bring in, as you say, a Chinese food station or something to incorporate both cultures into it. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and that's usually what happens and what I recommend with couples. There are a lot of interracial couples I work with nowadays. It's not strictly, you know, two Chinese people getting married at a Chinese banquet hall or a restaurant or two Italians. It's a mixed culture. It's Toronto.
Mm-hmm. 416-872-1010. Rebecca Chan is my guest, the wedding planner on the night side. We have a text question for you at 71010. How long should the maid of honor speech be? I was chosen, even though I don't see the bride very often and we aren't close. Any tips on speech writing?
I'd say keep it short and sweet. That's with any speech, really, not just yours as a maid of honor. Short and sweet, tell a really lovely story about how you've met and give your well wishes to the couple and end it off with a good toast.
We discuss speech writing a little bit here on the show and things to do and things not to do. And I find people always feel like they have to make it longer. And in fact, the shorter, the better.
Yes, you're not the main event at the end of the day. The bride and groom is the main event. You're there to compliment. You're there to highlight them, to be a part of that day and to honor them. Do what's best in terms of how you think that should go for your speech.
What I wanted to ask you, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is how to avoid drama when you're planning a wedding. Is that even possible?
Drama comes in many forms. Do you want to clarify?
I would like you to tell us some of the forms that drama comes in.
Like we were talking about, parents are always a big variable. They have a lot of expectations. They have pressure. They have traditional values as well that are not the same as the millennials these days, where they want, you know, the backyard barbecue, or they want something completely different that's an event venue that's never used before for a wedding. They have different value systems. So parents are the biggest one. Friends always have their say in terms of what they think is the best recommendation. I'd say it boils down to you being happy, and it's your day. It's not your mom getting married. It's not your friend getting married. It's you. And you need to honor that and remember that that's what the day is about. And obviously don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to do anything that will be offensive, but do your best to enjoy the day for yourself and do what's best for you.
Should the bride and groom take into consideration when people say, oh, you better not sit that person with that person because they're not speaking to each other? Or should that be those people's problem to deal with?
I'd say those things are always good to keep in mind if you're able to respect different, different situations so that you won't have extra drama on the day. I think it's great if you can do that, but if you can't accommodate it for whatever reason, that's okay.
If you are inviting couples who aren't married and you're also inviting singles, do you have to extend a plus one and guest invitation for the singles?
That depends on your budget and your venue and your capacity. I'd say people who are engaged or married, yes, you should invite their plus one. People who are single, who are not even seeing anybody, that is up to the discretion of the couple. Do they know anybody at the wedding? Will they have a miserable time on their own? Are they extroverted, right? Or are they not? I think it's dependent on that person, and every situation is a little different.
Have you ever had situations where people show up uninvited, just expecting to be a part of it?
Typically, no. Usually guests are pretty good with replying. With some cultures, like Indian weddings, we usually include two or three tables that are just for drop-in guests who have not replied, and it's very common in that kind of culture. So different families and different cultures will have those types of quirks. Generally speaking, no.
What do you suggest for the bride and groom to make the whole process less stressful? Because it always is stressful, I think, no matter what, when you're trying to put together a big party like this.
I'd say stick to your budget, create a budget, and hire good vendors. A planner is obviously a good one to have, whether that's me or someone else. It's good to have someone who has an unbiased opinion, who's not emotionally involved, who can give you advice and give you discounts. But I think budget is the biggest thing. Money is always the biggest issue when it comes to couples and marriage, right? So if you can keep that under wraps and keep that under control, I think you'll be in good hands.
Rebecca Chan is here. She is a wedding planner and coordinator. It is the Wedding Planner on the Night Side. We've got her here till 9 o'clock. If you have any questions about planning a wedding, give us a call at 416-872-1010, star talk, star 8255. You can text us at 71010. You mentioned planning a wedding on a budget. So people might be listening and thinking, I would love to have a wedding planner, but I just can't afford one more thing. So how much does a wedding planner typically run, and does it depend on the size of the wedding, et cetera, et cetera?
If you're in a city like Toronto, it's a major metropolis, day of coordination where a wedding coordinator will come on the day to manage your day with a meeting ahead of time to know the details. Maybe they'll run the rehearsal as well. That usually runs from $1,000 to $1,600, up to $2,000, depending on the planner. Then you have full planning, which is It's the full thing. It's I'm coming with you to look at your venue. I'm going to suggest what would be best for your budget. I'm going to recommend your vendors. I'm going to walk with you the full way. That can range from $3,000 to $6,000 to $7,000 to $10,000, depending on the planner again and the scope of the day. And then there are a couple who will opt for something in between. And so for me, that's my partial planning package, and that's 10 hours of help. It's just enough to get you on your feet, figure out your major vendors, and also have the day of coordination. I'd say if you cannot afford anything else, at least have wedding day coordination. I got married 2 years ago. I planned the whole thing. It was great. I still had someone on the day to manage because I did not want to deal with it.
That's interesting that you say that. I've emceed a number of weddings, and I find, well, and I get this because I emcee a lot of charity events too, but when I've done the weddings, I have actually acted on behalf of the people, and I'll say to them, I'll deal with the hall, right? Don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. I'll deal with the person who wants to do the last minute speech. And it really helps when there is someone there as a buffer between the couple and everybody else.
Absolutely. And what happens when you don't have that person, your mom will be that person, or your bridesmaid, or you, the MC. If you don't even have an MC, or you have a DJ who's the MC, he's going to run the show, you know, and does he have your best interest in mind? I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. All right, Rebecca Chan is here. We will continue on with calls and discussion. 416-872-1010, star talk, star 8255. Text us at 71010. Coming up, we're going to talk about what to consider if you're planning a destination wedding. You're listening to The Night Side.
Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home.
I know.
It's The Night Side, hosted by Barb DiGiulio on News Talk 1010.
Welcome back to the show. We're doing The Wedding Planner on The Night Side. My guest this hour is Toronto wedding planner and coordinator Rebecca Chan, and your calls are welcome at 416-872-1010. Star Talk, star 8255. Text us at 71010. Rebecca, I mentioned before the break that I wanted to ask you about destination weddings. And you told me in the break that you don't really do destination weddings.
Yes, they are a whole other ball game. I specialize in Toronto weddings, and that's already quite a handful. Destination weddings, you have to be an expert in that city. You have to have contacts in the city. It's about travel arrangements, so it's a completely different ball game.
So what are some of the challenges when planning a destination wedding? Because you said that you are familiar with and can speak to it a little bit. And do wedding planners for destination weddings go on the trip with the couple?
Yes. So if you are a wedding planner and you're a destination planner, sometimes that is required that you're on your feet, like in the city. Some don't. Some they just plan and then they leave it to someone who's on site as their contact. In terms of planning, there's a lot that goes on with it. What would you like to know?
Well, I guess one of the things I would ask is, see, I have not been to a destination wedding. I know some people who have done it. I always just think of it as a little bit of pressure on the family to spend the money because they don't want to miss the wedding and they're being asked to take a, you know, vacation. And usually it's a very nice resort and it could be, you know, $3,000 a person, $2,000-$3,000 a person. That could be a lot for people, but they also don't want to miss the wedding of someone close to them.
Of course. And when you have other people getting married around you, friends who are also getting married, and you want to give a gift, it adds up when you have wedding after wedding and a destination. So when it comes to the day, usually couples have to consider the timing of the event. They have to figure out the month when they can both get vacation, when their friends and family, the ones that are important to them, can get vacation and time off. Will it be within their budget? Is it the kind of location that your guests would want to go to? Is it going to be just the Caribbean where they can go anytime, or is it going to be somewhere more exotic but will have a higher price point?
Are people expected to bring a gift to a destination wedding?
I would say that depends on the relationship with you and the couple, how close you are. I think the couple will understand if you don't bring a gift because it is usually quite a big expense, especially with two people going or a couple. But if you can afford a gift or something personal, I think that's always a nice touch.
I would think the couple would really, hopefully, appreciate having the people with them at the destination.
For sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could even give something small because really at that point, is it about how much you get for the wedding when people have spent thousands to travel to be there with you?
Yes, absolutely. I would agree. Get something personal, something small and meaningful, but still give something.
416-872-1010, Star Talk, Star 8255. Toronto wedding planner and coordinator Rebecca Chan is my guest. Great question on the text board. Should children be invited to the reception? Aged 15 and under, 35 children of 250 people invited. I don't want a daycare at my reception.
That will depend on the couple, whether or not that's something that they want to do. If it is 35 kids out of 200, that is a lot, but will that deter your guests from being able to come and enjoy themselves? If the answer is yes, and you would prefer them to be there, if it's family as well, especially, I would recommend having some sort of kids service or perhaps having kids baskets at their table or maybe having a special table designated for the kids as a play area. Have your coloring books and your puzzles and your Lego and all that kind of thing. And I've done both of those things at the wedding with the kids baskets and kids tables, and they're fine. They're great. It just depends on the couple and what they would like to see at their wedding.
It can be a lot of fun and not disruptive to have kids at a wedding. It can be a really nice thing, especially for families that are pretty close.
Yes, and when you have a child, you want to include them. You don't want to leave them for an occasion like this. And it's really nice if you're able to accommodate having the kids there in some way.
So what goes into picking the right venue?
A lot. Mm-hmm. Finding a venue is the most challenging part when it comes
right?
to wedding planning, I'd say. It's the biggest expense when it comes to the budget. There are a lot of variables and options in the city, so it depends on your budget, the guest count, the location, and the style of the venue, and the food.
You mentioned putting together a wedding in a couple of weeks and Casa Loma. That's got to be would you consider that one of the nicest venues to have a wedding at?
I'd say it's one of the nicer ones when it comes to a ceremony spot. If you're looking for something traditional and classic, that's usually something that comes to mind. There's no other castle in the city, right? So it's the only one, and guests Couples only want to get married on Saturday. So when that happens, there's only 20 some odd Saturdays from May to October when you have good weather. So they get booked up.
People I'm finding more and more are, instead of having a bachelorette, bachelor party, dinner, whatever they do nowadays, they are doing these mini destination bachelorettes and bachelor parties. And I'm wondering if that is, it seems that that's asking a lot of the people who are in your wedding party. And again, it goes back to this, by the time they get to the wedding, you know, I would hate for people to feel like it's this constant, I need to shell out this much money and this much money for this and that. Some people have multiple bridal showers and all this kind of thing. What is that really the trend now, to take the bachelor and bachelorette parties out of town?
I think that's a trend because people just want to do something different. They don't want a bridal shower at a banquet hall, like with all of their family and relatives. They want something intimate. They want something different, and they want to make a trip out of it. And I think for some that works. And if you're not able to go as a bridesmaid or a guest, I think just be honest with the bride or the groom and let them know that you'll celebrate with them on their wedding day. And it's just not in our budget right now.
And not a big deal. And hopefully,
can you really say no to that? Like,
well, I mean, what, have you seen brides get offended at that kind of thing?
I think if the bridesmaid came to me and I was a bride and they said, I'm not able to come because of budget restraints or vacation, I don't have any, you just have to understand that's part of what happens when you have trips like that or a destination wedding. It just comes with the territory.
Rebecca Chan is my guest. She's a Toronto wedding planner. How about some ideas on planning a wedding on a budget and ways that people can get married and maybe areas they can save money?
That's a tough one. Honestly, the wedding industry is not a cheap industry. Once you tack on weddings to anything, it becomes expensive. People usually say that. If you can save on your venue, that's usually the biggest expense, right? So if you're able to not do a Saturday, if you're flexible, you're willing to do a Friday or a Sunday or off season.
Is it that much of a savings if you do that?
Absolutely. Especially with venues that are quite popular in the summertime for Saturdays, they get booked up. If you're willing to go outside of May to October, willing to brave the winter of Toronto or the early spring, you'll definitely get discounts there. And I'd say that's the biggest thing. Like your venue is your biggest expense.
And what are, you know, some of the other things that people are looking at, what are the costs running on average for things like flowers and photographer and all of that? I mean, obviously it depends on the size of the wedding, but say, I'm going to say, what's the average size wedding that you would do?
That I would do, I'd say about 150 people,
okay.
200 at max.
So let's say 150 to 200 people. What are people looking at in terms of costs for all of those different things?
Say if you're looking on the low end for flowers, you're going to spend $1,500 to $2,000.
That's pretty reasonable for that many people.
I'd say so. And that's with something very simple, right?
Sure.
And not very elaborate, just kind of getting the basics down. On the higher end, you could spend, well, you can spend anything.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like you can go up to the tens of thousands, but I'd say on average 5 to 6.
What is the most you've seen people spend on a wedding?
I've had a couple spend about $150,000 last year.
Wow. How big was that wedding?
It was about 260 people.
So where was that money spent for? I mean, that's a lot of money. So what did that go into?
That went into the venue, of course. That is a big expense. It was one of the 5-star hotels in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
And they had a lot of guests that flew in, and we spent 20 or 30 on the flowers and decor.
Wow. That must have been fun for you.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of fun, of course. You get to dream with them. And when a couple has a healthier budget and they're willing to spend on what matters to them and you can dream with them, it's a lot of fun.
So would hotels be the priciest venues for any kind of event?
I'd say there's in the city of Toronto, you have your 5-star hotels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are on the higher end for sure. There are a handful of other unique venues in the city that also garner that sort of high price point, like the AGO, like the ROM, that sort of venue where it's very do-it-yourself kind of venue. You have to bring in the caterer. You have to bring in your furniture, your AV, your utensils, everything like that. And it's a unique space as well. They have to close down the whole space for you to use it for your wedding day.
A study that shows there is no such thing as dating out of your league. We will explain how that works after 9 o'clock tonight. But right now we continue on with the wedding planner on the night side. Rebecca Chan is here. She is a Toronto wedding planner. Her website is RebeccaChan.ca. And some of the things that we will, of course, phone lines are open if you have any questions for Rebecca. 416-872-1010, Star Talk, Star 8255. Text us at 71010. Trends in weddings. What is hot right now?
I'd say anything vintage is very trendy right now. Last month I had a lovely bride, if she's listening. Hello. She has a really lovely antique collection, the kind of stuff that people would love to rent and pick out for a wedding. And she had 70 teacups all packed up for us, and her mirror trays and gorgeous pieces of amber glass and crystal. And we used those for the floral at the wedding.
Oh, nice.
And who had to set that up? I had to set it up. It was fun. It was beautiful. It turned out really lovely. But that sort of thing is really popular where you're renting pieces. I've rented vintage sofas before to create a photo opportunity for the couple on the wedding day. And renting vintage mirrors and that sort of thing, and chalkboard and calligraphy, anything like that is super hot right now.
And I guess, you know what, there might be some people out there that are good at pulling that stuff together. But for the rest, I guess if they want to put together this quote unquote dream day or perfect theme, that's when someone like you would come into play. Because say, for instance, those teacups that you had to do, then did you get that all cleaned up and back to her in one piece? Is that part of what you do?
Yeah, it is, with a small fee. It's usually not what I typically do. If a couple didn't have the teacups themselves and they wanted to rent them, I could certainly direct them to a few suppliers in the city who rent them, who would have a courier service or a delivery service for that sort of thing.
What are people doing now in terms of wedding day transportation?
There are a lot of options. Obviously, limos are the popular and common choice because it gets people from A to B, and you have seats for 10 or 12 people. Now, a lot of grooms are getting involved with this sort of thing with transportation because they're realizing they can do something fun. A lot of classic couples will love a Rolls Royce. There are companies in the city that just rent out a Ferrari for the day. And just rent it free. You get to drive it. It's automatic, and it's great for photos.
So do a lot of couples then sort of drive themselves around?
Typically, no, but I would say in the case of the Ferrari, it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You might as well kind of splurge on that if you're a car guy. But typically, you do get driven around.
Outdoor weddings, do you do many of those?
I'd say a handful. Not everyone likes them. It's either you love it or you hate it type of thing. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And then you're also, depending on the weather, which could go many different ways. Last weekend, we were supposed to have a party at our home, and I moved it to this weekend. And I, on days like that in the summer, I think to myself, oh my goodness, I wonder who's getting married today.
Oh, I know. I've had weddings where it's torrential downpour. My goodness. But in Toronto, you kind of have to plan for that. With a outdoor wedding, you have to plan for those types of rain backup. What do you do? You can't reschedule the wedding, unfortunately, with hundreds of guests coming in. You also have to figure out washrooms and porta potties.
Oh.
You have to figure out tents. And usually if it's a private venue, like someone's beautiful backyard, you need to bring in furniture. You need to bring in the linens. You have to bring in the chair, the utensils, the catering, the staff, the bar staff, the bar. It's a lot more work than if you were to go to a turnkey venue, and it's just there for you.
Do you find many people wanting to get married at home?
Absolutely. It's everyone. It's a lot of people's dream to have that backyard, easy breezy wedding. But in fact, it's a lot of work, and people don't realize that up front.
It's anything but easy breezy.
Absolutely.
How about the day of the wedding? If things go wrong and the bride or the groom is freaking out, although I don't think grooms tend to freak out as much as the brides do on the day of the wedding, if something goes wrong, how do you handle that?
Well, because I'm there, I don't really see too many brides freaking out. Usually things have been kind of pre-planned, or we've thought through a lot of the what-ifs. But usually if there is a planner on board, things should be handled discreetly. Usually things happen and they're figured out and guests don't even know.
Right.
It's just the couple who knows, right? It's just the couple who knows that, oh, the performer came late, so we're going to put that after, you know, mom's speech versus before. People don't know that.
Why is it that some people can get so stressed out about a little thing going wrong? Is there just so much pressure that maybe the couple puts on themselves for that day?
Yeah, for sure. That and social media. Weddings are shared like crazy these days, right? If you're at a wedding, people are going to share it on Instagram. They're going to put it on Facebook. They're going to tweet about it. And then if it's a great idea, it's going to go on Pinterest as well. So there's a lot of pressure for couples to have this great wedding because it's very much a public event.
A year ago, I went to a really nice wedding at a winery in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and someone just texted in at 71010 asking, how popular are weddings at wineries in Niagara? And is that something you would handle? Because you said you're mostly Toronto.
Yeah, I'd say it's more of a niche thing. It's just like if someone wanted Toronto, you would probably want someone who specializes in the Toronto region. I have inquiries. I just got an inquiry yesterday about Niagara-on-the-Lake and how lovely it is, that they would love this winery up there. And my family's in Toronto. And usually you have to think about it being a mini destination.
It is,
guests,
yeah.
Who go there, it's an hour and a half away. They're going to need accommodation. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to travel. If it's not on a Saturday, they'll have to take time off. And you're going to have to find local vendors as well. If you're based in Toronto, any Toronto vendor you bring is going to need travel. They're going to charge you mileage. They might charge you accommodation if they have to stay the whole day. So it's a completely different ballgame.
With it being close enough, unless you were to go out there and book all the vendors locally.
You certainly can, if you're based in Toronto, that's going to be a little bit of a trek for you. There are certainly similar venues in the city, maybe not in the city of Toronto, but in the greater Toronto area, that have a similar rustic feel, that have a green space. Some wineries in Ontario as well that aren't as far, that could offer something similar.
And do you ever have a slow season?
I'd say it's slow from November to April. That's when planning happens. It's not really slow in the work, the planning side, because that's when planning happens for your photography. You're booking your venues at that time. But my weekends are not booked at that point. It's just work at that point for weddings.
Another question for you on the text board. What is Rebecca's favorite aspect of wedding planning?
My favorite aspect, I'd say it'd be handling the design and the decor and figuring out how best to source one's idea and like they're figuring out their dream and then seeing it come to life.
We will have to do this again sometime. Thank you so much for this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Rebecca Chan is a Toronto wedding coordinator, wedding planner, and her website, if you want to check out her services, rebeccachan.ca.
You've been listening to a segment from the Best of the Nightside with Barb DiGiulio podcast. Log on, listen, and download the latest podcast right now by visiting newstalk1010.com.